How about we give that up to the Lord right now? You know, that hand clap was a little bit louder when y'all said it was for me. I don't need a hand clap. We're talking about the King of Kings, the Lord I Am, the Almighty One, the All-Powerful One. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're worthy, Lord Jesus, my God. I'm glad I can come to a church and feel like I'm at home. I leaned over to Brother Willie and I said, "Doesn't it feel like we're home?" He said, "Yes, Pastor." Because it's not about abundant life here in Tulare or abundant life in Willis, Texas. We're talking about we're bought children of God. We've been washed by the blood because the blood works, because He's alive. Oh my God. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost. I don't know what you've been looking for, what you've been searching for, what you've been longing for, what you need, but I'm here to tell you that my God is the provider. My God is here. My God is going to rain upon this church service. See, the problem as human beings is that we tend to look for things in other things. And I'm getting in my head of myself, and I'm not preaching yet. Just bear with me for a few moments. But God wants to deal with you. It's not by coincidence that you find yourself in this building. I'm not sure if it's your first time, your second time, or you've been here since the church started. You still need a touch from God. Every day we need God more than we did the day before. You know, if you may be seated for a few moments. I want to give honor to Pastor Grogan, to the bishop. Thank y'all so much. His beautiful family, his wife, Sister Grogan, thank you so much. Thank y'all for extending the invitation to be here with us. If you don't know what's going on, you have revival here in Tulare. Thank you for the five of you that agree. I'm not just talking about in abundant life. I'm talking about in the streets, by the cornfield. There's people being baptized in the name, in the name, in the name, in the name. You know, every time I go to a church for the first time to preach out, I forewarn them that I don't have a volume. I'm either 0 or 10. And I learned a long time ago that you don't need to yell and shout when you preach, but you don't know like I know what He's done for me. You don't know my past. You don't know what I went through and what I've gone through. And if you were in my situation, you would shout. You would magnify His name. You would glorify Him. Oh, come on, somebody. My goodness, I'm supposed to do preliminaries before I start. But I feel the presence of God. And I can't shake it. I want to give honor to this beautiful family, the Ramirez family. Brother Willie's my right-hand man back home. And I appreciate if you would have met him a little over a year ago. He didn't look like a preacher. He didn't look like a man of God back then. But he was blood bought by God. He was blood washed. Half of my praise team is here. Come on, stand up. Mamas, Brina, Colton. They didn't look Pentecostal a little over a year ago, but this is a miracle that you're looking at because of God. They are standing in front of you, now worship leaders, preaching the gospel because we're blood bought. It may not mean nothing to you, but it means a whole lot to this pastor. And it's an honor to have their family from Kentucky, their family from Iowa, and also, Johnny, you didn't escape. I seen you walk in. Their family from Tulare, amen. That's your new church member right there. He was blood bought this past weekend, or he was actually washed by the blood, I should say. He was blood bought a long time ago. But Johnny, it was an honor to baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ. There's some that cannot be here today, but the Lord knows their hearts and their situation. If everybody can please stand, we're going to go into the reading of the word. And I understand their Spanish church is in with us. The Spanish campus is here today. Some is here today. Okay. Well, if they don't start getting with me in English, I'm going to start preaching in Spanish. Pastor Grogan, one more time, I give you honor. And I'm going to tell you, I preach every Sunday or every Wednesday, etc., in Spanish, because I'm a Spanish pastor of Abundant Life Church. Nosotros somos la Iglesia Vida Abundante, el lugar de nuevos comienzos. Abundant Life Church, the place of new beginnings. I preach in Spanish, so it's a privilege and an honor. I get excited when I preach in English. It don't happen very often, amen. But when I do, I go out, and if I do minister in other churches, I preach in English. But when there's Spanish people there, and if they're not getting with me in English, we're going to just switch over to Spanish and let the Holy Ghost move, amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 3. I know many of you already looking at the scripture and you're saying, oh God, here we go again. Somebody else preaching about the lame man. But I'm going to take it in a little bit of different context, I believe. And some Bible scholars in here may disagree. But I'm just going to preach the way the Lord laid it on my heart to preach it for this congregation. Amen. I promise, Pastor, I won't mess up too much. You won't have to fix too much tonight. I may mess up just a little bit. But I believe God wants to do something in someone's life today. The miraculous is going to happen. We're still in the times of healing, miracles, signs, and wonders. Todavía estamos en los tiempos que estamos mirando lo milagroso. No importa lo que el enemigo dice, no importa lo que este mundo te dice. Yo sirvo un Dios que está vivo ahora. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 and on forward. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. See, so many times that when our pastor says, I have something for you, it may be a word, but all you heard was, I have something. Literally, what you're going to give me. But he was expecting something material. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name, 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 name, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up immediately. His feet and ankle and bones received strength. And he leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Praising God. 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. You have it, say amen, or if it's on the screen. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee, for you. My strength, his strength, okay, is made perfect in your weakness. In weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I gather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I ask you to put your Bibles down, iPhones, iPads, and lift up your hands, every eye closed, and you pray that God will touch your mind, your heart, your spirit. Come on, I'm not going to lead you in prayer. I want to hear this congregation roar in prayer right now that God would do his divine will upon this service. Whoa! You're worthy of it all, God. I magnify you. You're worthy, Lord Jesus, my God. I exalt you, Lord. You're worthy, God. Touch my mind. Touch my heart. Touch my spirit, God. Let you be preaching today, God. Let someone's life be touched, transformed, and renewed, Lord Jesus, my God. Come on, let's give it up to God right now. Let's magnify his name. You may be seated for the next few moments. Pastor said I had to about 2 o'clock. So we have, I'm just kidding, he did not say that. I seen a couple, you can kill me with your eyes. Now remember, this man was born lame from his mother's womb. This man could not walk. He couldn't do anything for himself, I imagine. The word says that whom they laid daily, someone had to pick him up and take him every day outside of the temple. They didn't bring him inside. I didn't see where they brought him inside. They said they laid him outside of the temple called Beautiful. Someone had to pick him up and physically take him there. How many years did it take for this man to come to church, to the place of worship, to sit out? People walked by him and he never received his miracle. People passing by and he just sat there asking for alms. Yes, he was healed by the power and the presence of God, the anointing that rested upon Peter and John. I do understand that. But this man was outside of the temple. How many of us have come church after church service, conference after conference, sat on a chair or sat on a pew in need of a miracle, but we just sit there and let life pass us by? How many times have we sat there and seen somebody else receive a blessing and seen somebody else be touched and seen somebody else be baptized in the name of Jesus and seen somebody else receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, but we're just sitting there lame spiritually. We can't move. Some of us have been like this man spiritually, and we just let life pass us by. Like I said, our spiritual legs are broken. We can't walk. We're lame. So many like this lame man today sit here under the sound of my voice, out in the street corner. It may be even your neighbor that you haven't witnessed to. And they're sitting there spiritually broken and lost. I imagine people made fun of this man. I imagine they told him, you would never walk, and giggled and laughed and pointed. You are useless. Why were you even born if you can't do anything for yourself? Some of you have even heard these things from family. Unfortunately, some have even heard it from your own parents as a child. I don't know why you were born. I don't know why you exist. You're worthless. You're just a pain. You're just a wasted space. You're nobody. You're never going to amount to anything. I can't imagine how this man felt. Broken, lost, and confused. I come and sit in front of this temple where people gather and worship. They worship to their God and they ask for their blessings. But what about me? What about me? How many people passed him by? How many people ignored him? Pastor Edwin, he was healed. Yes, I understand that. I'm not trying to be negative today, but I'm here to preach to you under this title. Because his mercy and his grace is enough, the time for healing is now. Because his mercy and grace is enough, the time for healing is now. It's today. It's not tomorrow. It's not a year from now. It's not another day. Whatever you need, you're going to find it right here in this altar. The need, the miracle, the desperation, you're going to receive. Oh, come on, somebody. My God. God laid this on my heart. And I was praying and seeking him. And as soon as we talked and with Pastor Grogan, later on, he sent me an invitation to stay and preach, and God began to deal with me. You see, I shouldn't be here today. I was flying out Saturday. Holy Ghost broke out in a reception. We baptized 15 in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. One was baptized, her mama's right here. One was baptized with the Holy Ghost, with evidence in speaking in tongues. Why? Because the time for healing is now. The time for the miraculous is today. We're living in the end time and we're living in the greatest revival. So I wasn't supposed to be here, and I was supposed to fly out Saturday morning and get there at some point in the day or in the evening in Houston, back home. Holy Ghost broke out and we felt that I needed to stay back, and there were some ones that wanted to get a Bible study as well, and others that were going to be baptized. Unfortunately, they were sick. And I reached out. My bishop connected us with Pastor Grogan. And then Pastor Grogan felt for us to come and join, connect with the church, and inviting us to preach. So I already had pushed my flight till Sunday because of yesterday. We were staying back. I already had pushed it to 6 o'clock, and I'm going somewhere with this. I pushed it to 6 o'clock this morning after speaking with Brother Pastor Grogan via text. We pushed it again, and we're going to keep pushing it till the Lord comes. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. We don't know what he has. Amen. It's not about our time. The point that I'm trying to make, that we make plans and we think this is going to happen and we make decisions and then we plan accordingly. But God says, I have another plan. You're going to go to Abundant Life Center in Tulare, and you're going to tell them that their hope is still there, that their promise is still there, that their miracle is still there. No matter the situation, no matter the circumstance that you're facing, your miracle is here. The Holy Ghost quickened me. I'm going on a rabbit trail. The Holy Ghost quickened me yesterday, and we were in the swimming pool, and we were looking at all these beautiful children swim and play and have fun, and not a care in the world, just focusing on what they were doing. And I leaned over to Brother Willie, and I said, Brother, not only did God do a miracle in your family's life, but I think it's going to strengthen the Tulare Apostolic Church to let them know that there is revival in California. No matter what the government tries to say and do, we are in revival like never before. God is pouring down His Spirit upon all flesh. I don't think all of y'all believe it, but it's all right. I'm going to move over here, sister. If you believe it, God's going to do the miraculous, but we just got to hold on to God. We just got to call on Him like never before. My God. I feel today that somebody here has come broken, lost, and confused. You may be sitting here and say, I've been serving God for so many years and I still haven't seen my husband saved. I've been serving God for so many years and my kids are still lost. I've been serving God and I haven't seen this and seen that. Let me tell you something. You hold on to that promise. My mother prayed for my father for 15 years, but now his blood was. Now he's a deacon in his church. Now he's serving God like never before. Why? Because God holds on to the promise. This world has thrown you to the side, up and down, and has demolished everything inside of you. The devil has stripped you from everything. Your joy, your peace, your faith, and your belief. Sometimes you may even be sitting at home wondering, is this real? Why do I even go to church? I feel nothing but lost, broken, and confused. But my God has sent me to tell somebody that His grace is enough, that His mercy is enough, that His love is enough, and that the blood still works. The time for healing is now. Don't leave this building the same way. I tell my church, if you come and you leave the same way, I'm sorry, but that's your fault, because my God is here. My God is willing and ready to do exceedingly abundantly above all. We have the power that Peter had. We have the same power that John had. Say, I'm not a preacher. God, you don't have to be. I'm just a saint. No, you're not just a saint. You're a saint. You're a child of God. And He has called us and has called us with a purpose to look at this lost and dying world and say, if He did it for me, He's going to do it for you. If He healed my body, He's going to heal your body. I pastor a beautiful church that is a miracle in itself. And one of our church members right now, their daughter is having a baby and complications. And I didn't mean to say this, but the Lord is telling me to say it, so I'm going to follow the Lord's will. Amen. Their daughter's very petite, and she was having complications with her pregnancy. And she's only 7 months pregnant. They had to, for complications, they had to do an emergency C-section. And they took the baby out. The baby, let me backtrack. That day before they started having real, that morning before, or that morning of, I'm sorry, she stood there, she started having complications. The baby, they did an ultrasound just to check on the baby. She was bedridden in the hospital, and they checked the baby, and the baby was already practicing how to breathe on its own. And then he started trying to eat. You could see him in the ultrasound. Then all of a sudden, a couple of hours later, she starts having complications with her blood pressure, etc. And they had to come in and do a C-section and get the baby out for her safety. They said either one of them can die or both can die if she continues to have to stay praying without us removing it. We have to do it. So our church went into prayer and we said, God, if it's your will for this baby to be born, it's going to be born. I don't care what the doctor says, but your will is going to be, done. They removed that baby. That baby, till right now, this just happened 2 weeks ago. He's in the hospital, but he's breathing on his own. Only 2 pounds and 7 ounces. But let me tell you, that's a miracle in itself. Something inside of you has been hurting. Something inside of you has been wanting to die. But my God said, no, I'm going to let you live. I'm going to give you life and give it with abundance. Doctors are not giving you much hope, saying that it's only a matter of time. The counselor is telling you that your marriage is over, that you just give up. School officials are telling you that they can't handle your children, that they're too much. Your daughter and your son is a lost cause. That's what we hear on a daily basis from the world. While on other occasions, Peter could have given him money, could have given this lame man money. Today, that day, he acted on impulse of the Spirit by saying a word of faith to a man who probably had never considered that he would walk one day. You imagine, you're so accustomed to being sick. You're so accustomed to being in the situation that you're in that you can't even see your miracle. Peter relied on the authority of the name of Jesus Christ and ordered him to get up and walk, to get up and go. So today, on September 15th, I rely on the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell someone, silver and gold I have none, but what I have, I give thee in the name of Jesus. Rise up in your situation. Get up and walk. You know why you can be healed today? You know why you can be saved today? You know why? Because my God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I serve a God that is great. See, this world serves different gods. I remember growing up, and I don't mean to bash any religion. I'm not doing that. I'm telling you what my grandmother used to do before she learned the truth. Never went to this particular church in her life, that from my knowledge. But she would go to Fiesta. We have Fiesta back home. It's a Spanish store. And she would buy these candles with all these images. And she would light them up outside. You would walk in her house and she would light them up. She had a little stand. She would light them up. Even though I was a heathen, I didn't believe in that. So I would blow them out. And she said, "Hey, what are you doing?" And she says, that I told him, that there ain't no power in that. I was a little booger. But at an early age, even though I was torn in between two different worlds, I came to the realization that they're serving something that doesn't even exist, that doesn't have power. My God is the same God that turned water into wine. My God is the one that walked on water. My God is the one that healed the blind. My God is the one that unstopped deaf ears. My God is a healer. My God is not dead. My God is not on a tomb. My God is not on a cross. He is alive and he's here in this building for you. Oh, Santo. My God. I feel this with a burden in my heart. I'm carrying something for you today to let you know, no matter how far you think you've gone, no matter what you think you've done, I've do prison ministry back home. I've seen rapists be saved by the name of Jesus. I've seen murders. I baptized murders in the name of Jesus. Why? Because he saved us. He saved all of us, no matter the situation, no matter what we did in the past. He died for all of us. You know, speaking of that, it was a little tough, Pastor. going into the prison system. I was ready to baptize the drug addict. I was ready to baptize the alcoholic. I was ready to baptize the gangster. I was ready to baptize them. But when they come and tell you what they've done, they don't have to. But some want to just open up and vent because they can't do it inside the prison, or they'll get hurt. And all of a sudden they tell you what they've been carrying, and they want to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And now I got to sit here, stand here, and I got to baptize the rapist. Something that we're against. Something that I know is real harmful to children, etc. But God spoke to me. And he said, they just died for the drug addict. I just didn't die for the prostitute. I died for the murderer. I died also for the rapist. I died for everybody. My blood shed for everybody. My God. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were sinners, yet sinners, Christ died for us. He knew our sinful nature. He knew what you were going to do before you even did it. He knew how far you were going to go, how far you were going to push the envelope, how far you're willing to go, what you're willing to sacrifice to the world. But you've sacrificed so much, and this world has chewed you up and spit you out. It's time for you to give up to Jesus. It's time for you to turn away from sin and say, God, I want to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Oh, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Even though we were sinners, he died for us. He died for you and I. God is reaching for someone here today to let you know that he loves you. You feel right now so alone, so far, so distant. You can't relate to anybody. And you're saying, no one loves me. No one understands me. I'm here to tell you, I don't understand you, but I know who does. I'm here to tell you, I don't have power, but I know who does. I'm here to tell you, I can't heal you, but I know who does. I serve a God that's still alive. I serve a God that loves you. Oh, lift up your hands right now. He's so called on his name. Oh, Santo, derrama tu sangre, Jesús. Derrama tu unción, mi Rey Padre. Eres digno, Señor Jesús. Yes, God, I glorify you. God has sent me today to encourage someone, to tell you that there's still hope, to tell you that there's still love, to tell you that there's enough mercy, to tell you that there's enough grace, to tell you that the blood still washes all sin. Oh my God. There was a mother who got up every night at different hours in the middle of the night, crying out for her kids. Her oldest boy was murdered, and she was worried about her other children. She had two other boys and a daughter, and she would wake up and she would cry for her sons and her daughter. God, don't take them from me. God, don't let them die in sin. This mother would weep for hours and cry. And she was affected by the death of her oldest child. She was in fear for her youngest son's life. He was lost. He was addicted to drugs, started off selling drugs and got addicted to drugs and alcohol and just was lost. And he would disappear for days and weeks at a time. But the father would wake up in the morning and he would start calling the prisons, the jails, the hospitals. He would even call the morgue and he would call funeral homes around the area looking for their son because he was just gone, lost. They didn't know where he was at, and they were afraid that he was going to get murdered. They were afraid that he was going to end up in the prison system. And even the own people that he was hanging with and running with, they even tried to help this young man and would reach out to his parents and say, look, well, I know we're not living right, but your son's totally lost. You need to come get him. And his son would find out, and he would take off and just disappear for a long time. The mother cried and pleaded to God every day. And her church would cry out for this young man and would call on Jesus to say, God, touch his life. He would disappear because he was so bound by the things of this world. But there was a mother who didn't give up. There was a mother that grabbed a hold of the horns of an altar. There was a mother that prayed without ceasing. And God answered her prayers. And because of his love and because of his mercy and his grace, I am that young man. And I stand here before you now, a minister of the gospel, saying if he changed my life, if he did it for me, he can do it for you. No matter how deep you've gone, he still loves you. I'm a living testimony by saying God's grace is enough. Doesn't matter how far you've gone. Doesn't matter what you've done in your lifetime. God still loves you. His mercy is here today. John 5:5-9. Somebody's dealing, God's dealing with somebody right now. God's dealing, everybody eye closed. Mama, keep praying. Mama, don't give up. Daddy, don't give up. You call on Jesus. His word says, call on to me. He didn't say call on anybody else. He said, call on to me, and I will show you things. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up to this world, but give in to God. Say, God, I need you right now more than ever. Oh. You may be sitting here and don't understand everything that's going on, and you can sit there with your arms folded or you gripping onto the seat, but God is dealing with you too. You may not understand the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Ghost is for you. You may not understand baptism in Jesus' name, but it's for you. God is working right now. I still have a bunch of pages of notes, but God can do more in a second than I can do in a lifetime. Every eye closed. You may not understand, but every eye closed. Come on, mama. Somebody, a saint over there to the left, was crying out to God, was speaking in another tongue. Don't give up right now. Don't stop. Come on, intercessor. Right now, it's time to get a hold of an altar. Right now, it's time to get a hold of the horns of an altar and call out for the babies of this church, for the newcomers of this church. You keep praying. You keep seeking. I was in the Philippines, 2017 and 2018. In 2017, we had 15,000 people come, poor, nothing to live for, no money,
nothing to eat, but they came because somebody told them that they can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, that someone told them that they can be baptized, someone told them that there was healing. Come on, keep praying, keep praying. This is when this scripture changed my life forever. How about the lame man? We prayed thousands through the Holy Ghost. Then it came healing time. All of a sudden, some of my four men start breaking their way through the crowd, bringing a lame man that had never walked in his life, an older man. That lame man, his pastor was on the platform with us. He's one of the leaders in the UPCI in the Philippines. He's one of the directors. Actually, he's the secretary of the UPCI over there. And they broke away and they set him down. He sat down on the floor. The platform was high. Brother Greg Randall gave the word of faith. Nobody laid hands on this man. Nobody touched him. All Brother Randall said, he gave the word of faith. There was a pastor that was sitting down. He didn't lay hands on, he was standing next to him on the ground. He didn't lay hands on him. All he did was extend his hand the way Peter did. That old man grabbed his hand and he stood up. And he didn't need a walker. He didn't need a cane. He didn't need a wheelchair. He left out of that building walking and praising Jesus. Why? Because he was willing to sacrifice everything. He says, I'm not leaving in this place till I receive my miracle. If God did it in the Philippines, he can do it for you. See, we oftentimes think about healing cancer and healing AIDS and healing diabetes, and I believe in that, and he's done it and I've seen it. But we forget about the spiritual wounds. We forget about the hurts. We forget about the abuse. Somebody in your life has abused you in one way or another so long ago, and it's built so much anger and confusion in your heart that you can't give everything to God because you're holding on to that bitterness. You're holding on to those wounds that have cut so deep that you can't understand that why you're feeling this way. Depression, anxiety has taken over your mind and your thoughts. And you felt that there is no more. I'm on the unction of the Holy Ghost right now. I know it got quiet because we don't like to think about that. We want to hear about cancer being healed. But we don't want to think about being abused as an 8-year-old child. We don't want to think about the hurt that we've carried, the pain. We oftentimes, we think about abuse, we automatically think about ladies. But men, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. There's a man here that's been dealing with some pain, with some abuse, things that you held on for way too long. Again, I have way more to preach, but everybody stand up right now, please. I feel that God wants to do something right now. The time for your healing is today. The time for your miracle is today. No more waiting. No more longing. And you say, Pastor, I didn't receive my miracle. You still hold on to that faith. See, we hear about the lame. I'm not being negative, but in the scripture that I was going to read, you hear the man, the Lord comes up to him and speaks to him and asks him what's your need of why you're not, you know, you want to be healed. And he says, well, every time I try to get into the tank, somebody comes before me. And I understand that people were being selfish and didn't help him, etc. But the man gave God an excuse. God didn't ask him. He says, if he wants to be healed. But he told God, God, I can't get in the tank. God didn't ask. He don't want to know that. He wants to know if you're ready to be healed, because he's ready to give you the healing. He's ready to give you the blessing. Don't stand outside of the temple. Don't leave this place the same. But leave with your blessing. Leave dancing and leaping and praising God and believing for the miraculous. Like Pastor said earlier, the woman with the issue of blood. She had gave everything she owned. She had given everything. She didn't find her healing, but she knew Jesus was coming. She didn't need Jesus to lay hands on her. She didn't say, I want Jesus. She knew if she could get close enough to Jesus, I can just get close enough and touch the border of his garment, I will be healed. How many today have faith that all you need to do is grab on? I invite you to come up to these altars right now. Everybody, know how far you think you've done or how big and bad we think we are. God wants to tear down those barriers. God wants to tear down the walls. God wants to break through everything that you've been through. Come on, church. Elder, lay hands on that young man right there. Elder, can you lay hands on this young man right there? Come on, I know you may not feel like you're a minister, but it's all right. We're all ministers of the gospel. God is moving right now. Come on, every eye closed, every head bowed, lift up your hands. Your miracle is here. You're longing for a change. You can be baptized in the name of Jesus. The water is ready. Come on, church. There's still people on the pew that I know that God wants to touch your life. I know God wants to do a miraculous thing in your heart. I invite you to come up to these altars. Don't leave the same way that you walked in. God wants to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Go pray for her over there, the elderly lady. Come on, mama, keep praying. Come on, daddy, keep fighting. We're soldiers of God. Keep fighting this war.